And we will be considering together, as we begin our time today, Psalm 20. So if you have your copies of God's Word, you may want to open it to Psalm 20. Today we have a day that is unusual in delivery and content, but an opportunity for us as a church family, collectively, both campuses joined together via video, to think about our future as the body of Christ together. And we'll start by thinking about what God's Word says in Psalm 20. To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt offerings. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the opportunity I have to be a pastor here at Blue Valley Baptist Church. And I thank you for the stewardship of opportunity that you've given us collectively as a body. And God, as we think about that today, about where you're taking us as a church, may we embark on a journey not for our own glory, but always be mindful that we belong to you, and the work we do, if not done for your glory, is not worth it. God, be with us today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You be seated. Next, May 13th will mark the 10th anniversary of my first sermon as the lead pastor of Blue Valley Baptist Church, and the text that I preached that day was the text that I just read with you, Psalm 20. Now, Blue Valley and I had a lot in common on that day. Both of us had come out of difficult seasons of ministry, but that day was full of hope for all involved because we just knew. In a way that would be difficult to explain to you if you weren't there for it. We just knew that God was about to do something special, and he surely did. I pulled out the notes for that message recently, probably for the first time since I preached from them 9 years ago, and it was kind of fun to read through the lens of what has happened since that day. We've now experienced the future, in part, that we begin to talk about on that day. But I came across a portion of that sermon that I think causes us to look ahead again. And so for the first time ever in 30 years of ministry, I'm about to quote myself. I've never had that happen before. But I want to read to you what my notes from that day said. Most churches experience no power because they never allow themselves to be placed into a position to need it. Most churches do just fine without God. But the victorious church will allow themselves to be led by God into water way over their head, so they will get the blessing of crying out, God, we need you to do something, because we'll fail if you don't. A victorious church will engage in battles that require them to confess to God their passion for him to act. They can't win if he doesn't. That's what I said 9.5 years ago. Well, here's what I believe about our church today, with some distance between me and those words. I believe that our future as a church is in the deep water. Now, it's not that we haven't risked in the last decade or so. We have. Our growth has forced us into a building campaign in the teeth of the Great Recession. In fact, the day that we began to talk to our church about giving over and above their regular giving was the Sunday after the stock market hit its lowest point in 2009. Now, how's that for leadership timing? That was fantastic. And, of course, Since that time, we've merged two churches together, a risky endeavor. We've launched two campuses, Antioch and Ridgeview. That's a risky endeavor. So it's not as though we have been risk averse. But I believe the next decade will be different from our first decade together in that those risky ventures will become more common and less episodic. I think that if we're going to fulfill what God has for us as a church, risk is going to essentially become the unspoken word in the Blue Valley Baptist Church name. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, if you were to go to our website and click on the About Us tab, you'll see these words. Blue Valley Baptist Church exists to help people follow Jesus by practicing the five habits of a Jesus follower, which are surrender, sustain, sacrifice, shine, and share. Now, that has been our mission statement since fall of 2009. Long journey how we got there, but that's been kind of the core philosophy that you see attached to everything we do since the fall of 2009. And we spent from 2009 forward for 5 years incorporating the five habits of a Jesus follower into the language of our church and into the culture of our church. We had these days that we called Challenge Sundays, where we spent time focusing in our preaching time and in our Sunday school time on habits individually. But talking about the five habits regularly was kind of placed on the back burner in 2014 as we threw our time and our energy into transitioning into a multi-site church. So because of that, it has been a while since you've heard about the five habits in a sermon or had a five-habit event like a Challenge Sunday. In fact, some of you may have wondered, because we've not talked about it like we used to, has our vision changed? Are we putting the five habits in our past? Well, let me be as clear as I can possibly be. Absolutely not. The five habits remain just as much a part of our present and future as they have been our past. We believe that the five habits of a Jesus follower provide a framework for understanding what it means to follow Jesus that is holistic and simple, and it is a way of telling and teaching people that a Jesus follower, very simply, is someone who has surrendered their earthly and eternal life to follow Jesus, who sustains their walk with Jesus by the power that He supplies, who sacrifices their time, talents, and resources in following Jesus, and who shine with the love and life of Jesus, making it easier for them to share their story of following Jesus with others. We are going to continue to preach that. We're going to continue to teach that. You're going to continue to hear that as much as ever. The Blue Valley Baptist Church vision statement will remain helping people follow Jesus by understanding the five habits and practicing the five habits of a Jesus follower. But what we have never really consciously added to that vision statement is a spoken strategy. Now, there are some things that we strategically do, but we've never kind of coalesced it into one thing. This is how we do that as a church. And we're going to start fleshing that out more for you in the coming weeks and months. What is the strategy we have as a church for helping people follow Jesus? That was actually something that began to come out of staff retreat. But a big piece of how we help people understand what it means to follow Jesus, a strategy we use is to establish multiple campuses that teach people how to follow Jesus by using the five habits of a Jesus follower. And so with that being the case, now might be a good time for us to review together why we have made the choice to be a multi-site church and why it is a sound strategy. So first, and most important to me, it decentralizes the importance of a central leader. Now, as lead pastor, I obviously provide direction to our lay leaders and our staff leaders and our church as a whole. But because we have multiple pastors and because we have multiple campuses, the leadership of the church and the ministry of the church is broadly scattered. It doesn't fall under just me. And I think it has decentralized the need for a central leader in a very healthy and, I think, in a very biblical way. You see, Derek Lynch isn't the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we need to have a structure, I think, that reflects that. Second, it eliminates the long-term burden of a large central building. You've heard me say this before, but I want to remind you that there is a coming crisis in evangelical Christianity in America. As these huge buildings that have been built under the tenure of a long-tenured pastor, under whose ministry the church flourished, as those pastors retire, and they are, we're seeing it already happen, left with these big buildings that people are no longer drawn to because that guy's there. And the money begins to fall off, and the financial burden of the upkeep of that building becomes unsustainable, actually becomes an albatross on the future of the church. Multisite keeps us from falling into that trap. Third, multisite allows us to share resources that strengthen the whole church. For instance, our Antioch campus would not have the space to do ministries like Upward Soccer if it weren't for the fact we have the Ridgeview campus. And our Ridgeview campus wouldn't have the financial resources to support the full-fledged ministries that we are doing at that campus if it were not for the presence of the Antioch campus. Both campuses benefit from shared administrative costs. So in short, multi-campus strengthens the whole church in ways that a single campus never could. And then finally, multi-site allows us to be able to do a wider variety of ministry in our community. You see, Antioch would never have the success at reaching the Hispanic community around Rolling Ridge Elementary in Olathe because we are too far away. But the Ridgeview campus is right there, and they have a ministry that they're establishing and that is beginning to flourish to a people group that we would have never been able to reach if we just remained at 151st and Antioch. And because of Antioch's larger worship center, we are able to have wider, combined, large worship events like Tenebrae on Good Friday and like the classic Christmas Eve service that we just couldn't do if the only building we had was at 1325 South Ridgeview in Olathe. So the bottom line is we can just do more and different kinds of ministry, reaching different kinds of people as a church because we are a multi-campus church. And so part of our strategy for teaching people about what it means to follow Jesus by using the five habits of a Jesus follower is to establish multiple campuses for that purpose, which then leads to the big question: when do we launch another? I will pause so that everybody who needs to be sick to their stomach can be so right now. You see, if you were to ask our staff who was around when the decision was made to pursue a multi-site future, we would tell you that we believe that our future involved more than two campuses. None of us actually gave any thought at all about how many there would be, but none of us believed that there would only be two. And apparently, you didn't either, because it didn't take long after our church before folks began to ask me when we'd launch Campus 3. And initially, given the stress that launching two campuses involved, I literally would almost get sick to my stomach anytime any of you thought you were doing me the blessing of asking me that question. And some staff members, when they would hear that, would almost start sending out their resumes to any normal church in America so that they wouldn't have to fight through this. Moving to two campuses was hard. You know that. And some choices we made in launching two campuses actually made it more difficult. Chief among those mistakes was the size with which we launched. Now, we were operating under the best practices suggested to us by the leading minds in the multi-site movement. But the fact of the matter is that we launched with so many that the Ridgeview campus was at capacity day one, leaving no room to go. And we launched with so many that the Antioch campus went into a deep and depressive funk for months. Where did everybody go? We're so alone. In fact, if you'll remember from the Antioch campus, I actually did a video piece last August from a cemetery to kind of snap us out of it. And things have been going better. But if we had to do it all over again, we would have launched with fewer people, more like 150 or so than the 225 to 250 that we used to launch Ridgeview. So the answer to the question, when do we launch Campus 3, is this: when both campuses can handle a combined net exodus of about 150 or so. And even that is somewhat dependent on the facility that God might give us to do that? And so the answer to the question is we will launch when we can both handle a net exodus of 150. And so a follow-up question is, okay, when will that be? How do we know that? And it is when both campuses hit their maximum sweet spot. I just keep answering questions with questions, don't I? Here's what I mean by sweet spot. Over the years, we've learned that the Antioch campus wants to be a campus of about 750 people. It gets to that number surprisingly easily. As a matter of fact, since we all kind of snapped out of it at the Antioch campus, our attendance has been rocketing upwards towards that number. We get there surprisingly easily, but it is very difficult to get past that number. And based on the square footage of the Ridgeview campus, it wants to be about 250 people to 275. Now, what I mean when I say each campus wants to be at those numbers is that those numbers represent the maximum number each campus can seat and park comfortably in a 2-to-3 service and 3 Sunday school format. And I can show you attendance patterns over the years from both campuses that just kind of support that notion. So we can anticipate, when can we anticipate reaching those sweet spots? Again, more questions. Well, that of course is up to the Lord. One of the things that we pride ourselves on as a staff at Blue Valley Baptist Church is that we never, ever set numerical goals. Why? Well, because people are more than numbers, and we don't want to treat people like numbers. But we do diligently try to anticipate, based on growth patterns, how many will be attending at certain periods of time, so that we are prepared to respond to the opportunities growth presents us. As a matter of fact, we can look at years of August attendance and know that your summer vacation from church ends on this Sunday. I can just show you over and over and over again. It's just, we anticipate what is going on based on what we see. So based on current growth patterns on our campuses, we think it's prudent to begin targeting the fall of 2019, which is 3 years from now, as the launch, when we can handle an exodus of 150 people. The combined attendance at both campuses at that time, based on what we're seeing, should be enough at that point to draw down 150 or so from both campuses. Roughly 100 from the Antioch campus, maybe a little more. Roughly 50 from the Ridgeview campus, maybe a little more. And all of that would start campus 3. Now, to do that, we may have to launch 150 out of Antioch and ask 50 to go to Ridgeview, ask 50 from Ridgeview to begin attending Antioch to kind of backfill that number. Or we may launch 50 out of Ridgeview and 75 out of Ridgeview and send 75 Antioch people out to help start that and more to backfill Ridgeview. We just don't know. All of that is ultimately driven by where a new campus would be. And I promise you, we have no preconceived notions about where that new campus might be. The point of all of this will be to make sure no one campus has so many leave that it experiences the funk that Antioch experienced when we launched almost 2 years ago, while at the same time making sure that the new campus we launch is not so big day one that it has no room to grow and reach people in its community. So to summarize, part of our strategy of helping people understand what it means to be followers of Jesus by using the 5 habits of a Jesus follower is to launch campuses that do that. And based on the patterns that we see evolving, the next window for launching that new campus will come in about 3 years. Now, between now and then, there will be campus-specific things that we will be doing to help people understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus using the 5 habits of a Jesus follower. And we will begin to share those campus-specific things in 2 weeks. I will be sharing with the Antioch campus the things that we will be doing. And Pastor Steve will be sharing with the Ridgeview campus the things that the Ridgeview campus will be doing. The purpose of today is to bring us all together to remind us collectively that there are things that we must be doing together as one church to get us ready for that opportunity that we see in our not so distant future. And so as one church, we need to think about, I believe, 3 things to do in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. First, pray about location. I'm going to ask you to begin to pray about the location of a third campus. We will, of course, need to see where people who attend our church live and assess areas in South Johnson County that would benefit from another campus of our church. But again, I promise you, no preconceived notions of where that might be. Some of you have preconceived notions. Just so happens to conveniently be near where you live. But we're going to have to look at where we are collectively together, and then we're going to have to see where God leads us. The bottom line is, we're going to have to ask God to show us where He's already at work, and then join Him there. Not try to start something ourselves and say, hey, God, come help us, but see where He's already at work and join Him there. Second, we need to expand our preaching team and begin grooming the person who will be our next campus pastor. And we believe that the person that God has His hand on to be our next campus pastor is Pastor Darren. And so Pastor Darren will be joining our preaching team this fall, and you'll be hearing from him on both campuses on a regular basis. We're excited about his growth as a preacher, and we look forward to seeing him continue to grow in this gifting that God has given him, which has come so far in the last 9 years, when the first time you preached here at Blue Valley, you were so nervous you said the words Samuel instead of Samuel about 55 times. So he's really come along, and we're very, very proud of him. He now can pronounce all of his S's. He's such a big boy. And each campus will hear from him roughly 9 times in the coming year, giving him about 18 preaching opportunities total, filling in for vacations when Steve and I are gone, and then some other opportunities throughout the year. Finally, we will need to retire a large portion, if not all, of our debt. Now, let me give you some good news. Right at August 1st, our church paid $300,000 down on our principal owed, which brings us to a total indebtedness of about $3 million. Now, our church has been giving faithfully and well to our debt retirement account called the One Church Fund over the last couple of years through gifts and pledges you made when we needed to go through the multi-site launch in the fall of 2014 and the winter of 2015. However, we need to start purposely and aggressively attacking the remaining $3 million. Now, what makes up that $3 million? Well, the debt has been restructured, as most debt is, several different times. But in broad strokes, $1.6 million, or roughly slightly more than half of that indebtedness, is held over from the indebtedness incurred in building the Antioch campus in 2000 and in 2001. The rest of the debt left remaining comes from our 2009 purchase of the annex, the Antioch Worship Center expansion at that period in time, and the creation of the Antioch Campus Children's Area, as well as a small portion, the 2014 remodel of the Ridgeview campus and upgrades to the Antioch campus that we did to get ready for multi-site. Now, the debt we owe is manageable for a church our size, like I hope your mortgage is manageable for your family. But I will say this, and everyone needs to hear this. It is an obstacle in our path to launching a new campus. Until that debt is greatly reduced or eliminated, we, barring some miraculous move of God, can't launch. So what I am asking you to do is very simple. I am asking all members of Blue Valley, both campuses, to pray about how God can use you to reduce that debt, and then I'm asking you to give. Now, our staff is of one mind. We do not want to do a traditional capital campaign where you listen to me or Pastor Steve or now Pastor Darren drone on and on for weeks about giving and then have you sign pledge cards and you turn them in and we track all of that. We just don't want to do that. We've done 2 capital campaigns since I have been your pastor, and at every one of them, I've heard folks say, just tell us what we need to do and ask us to pray. Well, okay, Blue Valley, this is your opportunity. I am telling you what we need to do. I'm asking you to pray, and then I'm asking you to give. We need to greatly reduce or eliminate $3 million worth of debt in the next three or so years so that we can launch another campus. You'll hear us say that a lot over these next 3 years, but we aren't going to have a bunch of meetings. We're not going to be giving any phone calls. We're just going to keep telling you what we need to do as a church. We're going to ask you to pray, and we're going to ask you to give accordingly. Now, if you want to come to one of us and say, you know, I'd like you to meet with me about giving to this, we'd be happy to, but we aren't going to call you for a meeting. This is your meeting. There. We've had it. That meeting is over. Some of you have the means to give large sums, and we'll need large sums to get rid of this in the next 3 years. Six figures, maybe even some could give more than that, and perhaps you're waiting for one of us to come to you and meet with you personally about giving. But we'd be happy to if you'd ask us. But otherwise, this is your meeting. Meeting adjourned. We are simply going to ask you over and over and over again to keep this in front of you, keep this in front of the Lord, and ask God to move in all of our lives. Now, when do we want you to start giving? As soon as you have direction from God about how much to give. After you have that direction, whether that's be a weekly gift or a monthly gift or an annual gift or whatever, or maybe a lump sum, you'll give. We'll continue to use the One Church Fund as the fund to funnel all debt retirement through. So those three things collectively as a church family are what we need to do. Now here's what I believe. I believe God has placed the resources to retire that debt and move us forward to a new campus in 3 years or less in our church already. Why do I believe that? Because I believe that God is leading us to launch another campus of Blue Valley Baptist Church. And I believe that every time God leads us somewhere, He provides the resources to make it happen. But the resources are always in God's people. It's not from a bag of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's not from some super volunteer who shows up, you know, sent down from heaven like an angel. The resources to do the ministry are always provided by God in His people. And I believe that everything we need to get ready for a third campus, from the financial needs to the service needs, are already here at Blue Valley Baptist Church. And here, with that in mind, is what all of us need to understand. Blue Valley Baptist is our church. It is one church. We may worship at different campuses, and we may worship at different services at different campuses, but we are united in a common goal. One campus by itself cannot retire debt. One campus by itself cannot launch a third campus. But together, both campuses, laboring hard, together can. Being one church means that we need to understand our individual responsibility. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. We all need to be pulling together, working in ministry in our respective campuses. If you attend Antioch and there's a ministry need, and there are, then your hand needs to go up if you're not serving, and you need to serve. If you are at the Ridgeview campus and a ministry need exists there and you're not serving, your hand needs to go up and we need to begin to serve. If you have not yet ever started giving, then I would encourage you to start giving first to our budget that supplies all the ministry that allows us to be able to do the work at our respective campuses that God has called us to do. And if you're already giving but haven't been giving to debt retirement, I'd encourage you to begin to sacrifice in that area to give over and above what you are currently giving. Giving sacrificially is a part of what being a Jesus follower is called to do. And if we do that together, we can do more than we ever could if we were by ourselves. Now let me close all of this, because that's not how I'm used to talking to you. And let me talk to you like I'm used to talking to you. The last year of my life has been unsettled. I came here with a very clear call from God, as clear as I've ever had before. If God has ever spoken to me audibly, He spoke audibly to me on March the 8th, 2007, at about 3:45 in the morning, getting ready for a flight to Florida, when He whispered in my ear, I've prepared you your whole life to pastor that church, Blue Valley, which was talking to me. And I just got a settled peace in my heart. This is where my life was going to be. But over the past year, transitions, turning 50, kids getting married, nest being empty, looking forward to the next 15 years being the, you know, when you get tired of me and start saying, when's that old guy going to retire? You know, I just was unsettled. I didn't know what God had for me. For the first time since I've been your pastor, I didn't know what God had for me. And through just some people praying for me, I'd talk to people about it. I've had in the last few months something akin to a second call to this church. Like it or not. And you said, do we get to vote on that? But I'm settled. Not in a complacent way, but I'm settled knowing this is where God wants me and my family to be. And I'm settled that this is my church home. And I believe God has something for my next 10 years or more at Blue Valley that He has created me to do to help us move forward with what God has for us. And I believe that all of the people that He has brought together over the last 9-plus years to this church have what is necessary to help us all move forward. And so let's link arms and let's do what God is calling us to do, not for the glory of any man or group of leaders or even a church, but for the glory of Christ who died for us.